this offseason. Worth noting, they traded a 7th-round pick for him, and Carolina, I believe, paid some of his salary. So, you know, we can all have our opinions on how much Andy Dalton might be wanted around the league. My opinion would be, I don't think you're getting much for him. And I also think it doesn't help that 3 other teams kept 4 quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So let's say another team, not one of those 4 teams, finds themselves in need of a quarterback.
The Jets might be one of those
correct.
Teams.
Correct. Like, we could argue Andy Dalton might be the best of the 4. We'd have to go through the roster. But the Eagles are not the only team with a surplus of quarterbacks, which I think makes it hard in a trade. But the bottom line, I think, with the quarterbacks is this. Like, Howie knows more about who has value around the league. Howie has the read on it. And, you know, when the whole A.J. Brown thing was going on, it was, they're not going to get a first for him. They're not going to get a first for him. Howie stuck to his guns, and they got a first for A.J. So will they be able to trade Dalton for something? Maybe. Do I think it'll be something of value? Probably not. Do I think this whole thing has been worth it? I don't. But they clearly feel he still has value.
Is it fair to say or wonder if Howie messed up the backup quarterback thing? Not just value, but the players. Because, look, the Eagles have lived a pretty charmed life the last few years. Jalen stayed mostly healthy. He had the concussion against Washington in 24. But for the most part, he stayed healthy. You know, that doesn't always last, right? It's the NFL. I mean, he could miss 2 or 3 games with an ankle like he did in 21. Like, regardless of who they choose, do you think they can win games with this set of backup quarterbacks?
So I don't think Andy Dalton. No, I think in the last few years, Andy Dalton has not played well. Now, he's in theory in a better situation here. I think it is a better situation, but this is not the Eagles of 2024
right,
where you know what the offensive line is. You know they can run the ball. They have 2 great receivers. So I think it's a bit of a tougher spot. I'm not ready to write off Tanner. I know that it seems they're more down on him than they used to be. The fact that they took half the reps from him. He didn't start 2 of the preseason games. I've seen Tanner practice a lot. I've seen him play in preseason games. I've seen him play in joint practices. I've seen him play in regular season. And for the most part, Tanner exceeds expectations when he plays. Didn't do it last year against Washington, right? Didn't finish the game off. But outside of that, I think he's been impressive when he's played. So if you told me Tanner was going in and they game planned around him, then yes, I would feel better. But it's just hard for me to feel good about Dalton right now.
You know, outside of the 4 quarterbacks that we have on the roster, what else kind of stuck out to you as far as the construction of the Eagles roster?
Well, in terms of the construction, I think the 6 receivers is a little surprising.
Mm-hmm.
They kept Elijah Moore, who, for what it's worth, I think, like, earned a roster spot. Like, if you want to talk about training camp mattering and, you know, being able to earn a spot on the team versus what it was at the start of camp, I think Elijah Moore earned a spot. He had the most targets of any receiver in camp. He had the most catches of any receiver in camp. He had the best play against the Patriots in the joint practices. Mm-hmm. Like, he stood out during camp. But he's a guy that was on a practice squad last year. So I think they probably could have cut him and put him on the practice squad. I don't know that, but I think it's something they could have done. The fact that they kept 6, I think, speaks to 2 things. One, they are really selling this idea of receiver by committee. It's not just AJ and Devontae anymore. Everybody has a different skill set. And you heard Nick say to Yahoo Sports last week that Elijah Moore and Hollywood Brown are going to be the ones that stretch the field for them. So I think they're going to look at them in those roles. But like, are you going to dress all 6 receivers next week? And if you don't, then why really is Elijah on the roster? Or is Elijah going to dress next week, and is Elijah going to play because maybe Mekhi Lemon coming off Friday night, they're not as sure about what he'll be able to do. So I think Elijah earned the roster spot. I'm just frankly surprised they did it.
Yeah, Elijah has a hedge on Lemon. I've wondered that too.
Because I think Elijah Moore ran a lot of the Lemon routes in training camp this year. Like, he got a lot of work, and you know the thought process was watching it. Like, this is supposed to be Mekhi, but Mekhi's hurt.
All right, we'll swing back to the roster in a second. Let's just talk about Mekhi Lemon because he came up here. Elliot, he played Friday. I know we debated on the show and the pregame if he should.
Yeah, good thing they played him.
But they, They did. And now, I mean, he didn't get hurt. What's the worst that happened?
No, he did it. Well, it went awful.
Well, right, but like, it doesn't really change anything that he didn't play well in the game.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Well, it changes a bit perception, but that doesn't really mean anything. But he got his reps and he played. But what did you think? I mean, it's the first time we watched him play in a real game. What did you think of Mekhi Lemon?
I think he looked like he's looked in training camp all year when he's practiced. I think Mekhi right now is a player that they're going to have to work to get the ball to. Like, AJ and Devontae, you didn't have to work to get them the ball. You just told them to get open. They ran a certain amount of routes, and you know, they had chemistry, and that was it. Mekhi, they're going to have to get really creative. And the other thing you see with Mekhi is it's a small margin for error when you throw Mekhi the ball. Like, he is not the biggest guy. He doesn't have the longest arms. And so when you're throwing it to him, even the interception from Tanner, right? Probably not the best throw, maybe a little high. But you could even see Mekhi, like, putting his arms up, right? He doesn't have that wingspan. So it pops off his hands. It's a ball he should have caught for sure. He said that himself. Absolutely, you would like to see him catch that. I think with Mekhi, my worry is week 1. They're going to have to get really creative on how they do this. And for an offense that might not score a ton of points, like each snap is very precious. And if you're taking 5-6 snaps to run like bubble screens, short outs, all that type of stuff, that's probably not helping the offense. So, yeah, I didn't think Mekhi looked good. What I think Mekhi needs right now, he needs one play. Like, he needs one play where you go, okay, this guy is definitely why, you can see why he's a first-round pick. You can see the explosiveness. You can see the run after the catch. He hasn't had that. So he seems like a very confident guy, but I wonder how much he just needs, like, a hitter that's in a, you know, a slump, or a shooter that's in a slump. Just one play to, like, remind himself, like, hey, I can do this.
Yeah, well, on a Friday, he didn't really... I mean, did he really have a chance for one? It was when he had a couple, he had three catches, right, for 3 yards. It felt like Tanner maybe underthrew him on the out route where he had a little bit of a step, and then the one that went off his hand. But
I don't think he had like a ton of separation.
No, he didn't.
That. Yeah.
He didn't. But that probably would have better throw. He could dump it over the
for
DB.
Sure.
Yeah, it felt like it was weird on Friday because they played him and they clearly wanted to get him the football. I mean, how many targets did he have? Five?
Yeah, five or six.
Five or six.
And he had the punt return.
Right.
Which, you know, I know that was later in the game. It's not him as a receiver. But I also think that shows right now maybe how desperately he wants to do something, because he made the decision right away. The ball's in the air, like pointing to it, like there, right? Mm-hmm. Then it bounces towards him. He tries to make a snap second decision to pick it up. It doesn't work out. It's fumbled. And it's just like another bad play involving him. So I just think he needs something to get going, but it's going to be tough now because now it's the regular season and every snap really matters.
All right, were you surprised that both Uwar Bernard and Joshua Weru were cut?
I was really surprised Bernard was cut. Now it's what? It is 12:07. We should know in an hour whether or not they get claimed. And if neither of them gets claimed and they're both on the practice squad, then no harm, no foul, right? And I don't think either of them are going to dictate like whether the Eagles win a playoff game this year, or whether or not they win the division. So like these 24 hours can be very concentrated on like bottom of the roster players, but great teams develop bottom of roster players. They keep them. And a guy like Bernard, I think everybody was very excited about him as being like the next Mailata, right? And all offseason, it's like, look at this potential. So I think it would be very disappointing if Bernard got cut. And I am surprised he got cut because it felt like they decided they were going to keep a roster spot on him. But again, this is where it comes down to Howie and Howie knowing the league. If Howie knows he can put Bernard on the practice squad, then that's obviously the better situation. Like, you don't want to keep him on the 53. He doesn't develop quicker on the 53. So if you can get him on the practice squad, that's a really good outcome. But if he's claimed, I think that would feel like a, you know, for, you know, relative to the player, like a pretty big disappointment.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here. Elliot, I think you're probably one of the few people that can answer this question and kind of have a frame of reference. When you looked at the final 53 last night and you just saw it, how does that compare to recent years? Because just from my view, but the roster always changes so much, it's hard to like remember snapshots in time. It feels just weaker than it has for probably 3 or 4 years. Do you see it that way? Do you see it differently?
So it's an interesting roster because I definitely think you can say it. Well, it's certainly not as good as it was 2 years ago.
Right.
And I don't think it's probably not as good as it was last year.
I mean, two years ago, Moro Jomo was their fourth defensive tackle.
Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they had A.J. Brown
right
a year ago, just simplistically.
They had a lot of players,
right?
Yeah.
They had Reed Blankenship. So I don't think the roster is as good as it was last year. But I also think what they did with the roster last night, there is another world where we're sitting here today and they're going, wow, they kept like so many UDFAs. And maybe the takeaway is, you know what? This team is developing for the future. I think the fact that they kept Elijah Moore, AJ Epinesa, Jonathan Jones, I mean, they kept the long snapper, right? Like they could have really gotten tricky if they wanted with that. So I think what you saw on Friday night is the roster is not as good as it's been in the past. I don't think the UDFAs, at times it felt like they were having really good camps. At times it felt like they were forcing decisions. But the only UDFA they kept was Rocco Underwood. They didn't keep a single positional player UDFA. So I think that that shows how things worked out. And it also shows like they need AJ Epinesa week one because Grenard's not playing, right? They need Elijah Moore in week one potentially because Mekhi hasn't been as good. They need Jonathan Jones because maybe they don't feel as comfortable with Mac McWilliams or Keely Ringo. So the fact that they kept all these veterans, Fred Johnson, another example, shows just like they need these veteran guys, I think, a little more than they used to.
How much does you think the schedule plays into the decisions? So Grenard is not on the PUP?
Not on the PUP. And Eli Stowers is not on IR. So
both
they are essentially predicting both will play in the first four games
at some point. So let's use Grenard, for example. To me, I started wondering this morning, Elliot, if they think they can get through the first 2 weeks, Washington and Tennessee, but they really want Grenard for the Bears and the Rams game. Because if they had taken him out for 4 weeks, those two offenses, you need him.
Yeah, well, I think it's also, I mean, they don't want to rule anything out.
Right.
You know, like, and who are they getting rid of? I guess Bernard, you could say, you keep, like, it was worth, I think, taking the chance that he'll be ready in the first 4 weeks. And I think he will play in the first 4 weeks. But the question is, how much does he play? Like, Hugh can speak to this better than I can. But when you're an edge rusher, and I know now they're like outside linebackers or whatever, but, you know, it's tough to not have training camp at all and come in 2 weeks into the season, play 85% of the snaps. So, you know, if you told me in the first month they got 50 snaps out of Jonathan Greenard, like, would you definitely take the over on that?
I
think that's, you know, he misses the first week, let's say, who knows for the second week, and then that's 25 snaps the next two games. That's probably not much. So I think they wanted Greenard to be available, but I think it could be a bit of a slow start here for Greenard.
What do you think, Hugh?
It could be, but if you know, because I'm thinking when you said that, you know, coming in and having so many snaps made me think immediately of Aaron Donald. But mm-hmm. He's not Aaron Donald.
Well, Aaron Donald's not as important right now, I'm saying. Yeah. Like the Rams have a lot of players.
He's like a cherry on the top.
Agreed. Greenard, they paid to be their best edge rusher this year.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about
and paid him a lot. I mean, they
traded 2 third-round picks for him. So it does feel like they're all in this year. Like, if you look at the way they constructed the final cuts, the fact they paid Greenard, like, I think there is a world where this could have been a developmental year. Mm-hmm. Sean Mannion's the OC. You keep a lot of young UDFAs. You think about all the spots next year you're going to need to fill. They really prioritize winning week one. And you don't often see the Eagles view it in such a, I don't want to say short-sighted, but like with the immediate future as opposed to, especially Howie. If you want to say Nick, I get that. Like, he's trying to win each week. But Howie normally does have the longest view in the room. And this felt like a rare time. I'm not saying they're the wrong decisions, but it felt like the rare time where he did not have the longest view.
Howie's going to speak at 3 today, so we'll have that, or the afternoon show, we'll have that later. Let's end with this, Elliot. Report out from E.J. Smith that the Eagles have some, or there's some interest maybe between the Eagles and Zach Ertz. Your thoughts, I think we talked about them, I don't think you were on the pregame when we talked about it. You might have been moving back around from the field.
Running all around, yeah.
Your thought, I'm in. I would bring Zach Ertz back. I mean, there's a couple things. One, I think they just need another pass catcher. And two, it'd be kind of cool if he got to end his career as the all-time leading pass catcher. He's 10 behind Harold Carmichael.
Yeah, I don't see much negative to it, right? Like, if you want to say, you know, is that, I think Zach wants to come back, very clearly. Mm-hmm. I think Zach wants to end his career with the Eagles. I think he wants to be the franchise's all-time leader in receptions. And, like, I don't blame him for any of that. But if you just look at just him as a player, I think he's still probably their second best tight end by far on this roster. And Goddard, I think Goddard is better, but I don't think Ertz is like far off as a receiver.
Still had 50 catches last year.
Yeah, I mean, Ertz is still a very good receiving tight end. And I think one thing he brings that they don't have a lot of is dependable options. Like, if you look at this offense, who do you know will be dependable? Like, Devontae Smith, for sure, I think, right?
Saquon.
Saquon, yes. And then Goddard. Goddard would probably be the other one.
That's it. That's the end.
But if any of them go down, like, Devontae misses two games, I think just having somebody in Ertz that knows how to get open, knows like he will be in the right spot. And I think it's a, you know, somewhat of a good vibes move too. Like, fans will be excited. Yeah. So
I think so too. And it feels like there might be some momentum. So we shall see how he talks at 3. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on.
Appreciate you.
And we'll talk to you soon later this week.
All right. Can't wait.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks. 215-592-9494. Get back to everyone's phone calls on the Phillies. Do you feel this team is different? Are you starting to really feel they're different? And the Eagles, for the first time in a while, I'm questioning Howie Roseman. The four quarterbacks thing just makes no sense to me. All right, coming up, along with your calls, I have an idea. Someone brought up Edmundo Sosa wants a bench trade turn. They're not going to do that. But I do have an idea the Phillies have to consider when we get to October. That's next. It is the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94.